Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is Monday, June 17th, 2024. A great day to be a Wisconsinite. Six now past the hour of 12 noon. We welcome you into a Monday, well, now technically afternoon. Overcast skies. It's a hot one here in the capital city, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. Mr. Zommers, happy Monday to you. Great to be back in the studio after being on the road last week with our friend and colleague, Jane Matinere.
Yeah, and I had an interesting weekend. I think, obviously, we're going to talk about the tour, but I think you'll be interested to know that I was voted the number one pool boy among my friends. Over the weekend.
Is that a fact?
That is a fact.
Were you hanging out in a pool of Manitowoc, or where were you at?
No, it was, so a couple of my friends are married, and Danielle's parents bought their retirement home around the Stoughton area. All They're not retired yet, so the couple gets to live there for now and pay rent, and it has a pool. And so we had to clean up the pool. And I was like, you know what? I've never done this before. This seems fun. And then I was skimming out leaves and bugs and stuff. And everyone's like, all right, Aaron, there's no way you've never done this before.
Well, congratulations. Congratulations on that feat. Yes, it was an interesting week. It was a fantastic week. Learned a lot. And a great shout out to our friend and colleague, Jane Matinere, Matinere on Air, who precedes us every morning from 10 until 12. Had a chance to do shows here in Madison last week with her on Tuesday. Wednesday, we went to the old hometown of Richland Center, then on to Eau Claire, and finally Amory. And, you know, probably the most time Jane and I had spent together since we started working together here at Civic Media a couple of years ago. And let me tell you, Jane Matinere is everything you imagine her to be and so much more. She's funny, she's entertaining, she's kind, and just super chill. So I want to thank Jane for hanging out with me. And thanks most of all to all of the great people around the state of Wisconsin who we got to. I mean, people came out. I mean, people in Richland Center and in Eau Claire and in Amory, people came out just to say hi. And that means so much because when you're sitting behind a microphone, you don't always get to go out and interact with people who actually listen. And so when you come out and say hi, and a couple of people brought us gifts, God love them, and you know that people are actually listening. So that's a lot of fun. And thank you to all the great people along the way that helped make this show go, Mr. Zommers, you in particular. And also to Aaron Carreno, our operations director here at Civic Media, who put together that great Civic Media Scotty Summer Text to Win contest over the last 2 weeks, where people could call or text in and they had a choice of summer, Wisconsin Dells Summer Prize Pack. A number went one. People won those. And now we can tell you what was in there, by the way, for whatever reason. And I suppose I still have to tell you this was a statewide contest. The lawyers are still out in the hall. But people won in the prize pack an assortment of tickets to different Wisconsin Dells attractions, water parks and the like, so that was great. And then a number of people won a pair of Milwaukee Brewer club-level seats. And, of course, there are two grand prize winners, and we cannot release the names yet. That's still being sorted out. But I learned this morning in our big office meeting call, the grand prize winners are from the municipalities of Kewaunee and Baraboo.
Well, congratulations. I'm sure we'll get those names once everything's all solid.
So if you were from Kewaunee or Baraboo, you could be one of the two big grand prize winners. And those two folks will get a choice of beautiful summer staycations at Fort Atkinson Cottage on the lake, including that pontoon boat. And we confirm for real, if you want Pat Kreitlow to come down and captain it, he's willing to work with you and come down and do that. Also, Lake Geneva stay at the Harbor Shores and Door County stay at the Ridges Inn and Suites, the gas car to get there and back. So two people, one from Kewaunee, one from Baraboo, will have their names for you a couple days from now, but they are being notified. They were the grand prize winners. And also a shout out to our friend and colleague, Pat Kreitlow, of Up North News Radio. You can hear him every morning from 6 until 8 on Civic Media. Pat was so kind enough to join us in Eau Claire at Shift Cyclery and Coffee Bar. And a big thank you to all the great folks at Shift. They were unbelievably hospitable and welcoming and made us feel right at home in their home. And Pat came and did the show with us there. And then he drove all the way over to about an hour and plus over to Amory and did the show with us there at Amory on Friday. So a huge shout out to Pat Kreitlow, who knows the North Woods better than anybody else and was a... He asked us to come onto his pontoon boat, but scheduling things, it just, and weather, it just didn't work out. But we'll get there. We'll get there. So anyway, and a big shout out to our listeners who helped me overcome Jane in the very, so here's the deal. The big winners, of course, were all of you who won these prizes and our sponsors. But secondarily, and let me tell you, a far secondarily, Jane decided to throw down the gauntlet and have this little internal contest to see who could get more texters, she or I. And it was a lot of fun, and it was all in good fun and jest. But, you know, we made a lot of it. And at the end of the day, I believe we went into Friday just a tad down in the overall count. And Jane Matnair, God love her, she has been talking up Amory for months, if not over a year, as her favorite place she'd ever been. No one's given more love to Amory than Jane Matnair, you understand. And at the end of the day, it was Amory who stabbed her in the back.
Yeah,
and,
pretty much.
And came through at the last moment and helped us win this thing. And so, but here's the deal. The final tally came in, and we only beat Jane by 31 votes. 31 votes was the count. So it was 1,300. 1,300 is what we got, and Jane got 1,269. Now, if you entered like that, you got another text confirming it, and then you could check your voting registration, among other things, and that gave you bonus points. Well, Jane actually beat us in the bonus points, 375. And so that may, if you added in the bonus points, which that wasn't part of Jane and I's bet, but if you did add those in, she beat us by 3 texts, 1,678 to 1,675.
Yeah, it was insanely close.
And by our friend and colleague back home in RC, at WRCEWRCO, Joanne Krulatz, the news director, says, did you factor in Todd being preempted for the Brewers on most of the channels for several days? Now, that's a great point because they don't play baseball in the morning, so Jane got all the stations. We were preempted part of the time. But no, at the end of the day, we won by 31, whatever. And I want to let people know, unlike some people in politics, Jane Matnair was a true sportsman and champion. She accepted the results. We shook hands on it. And I want people to know we went to the beautiful Balsam Lake Lodge on Friday night and enjoyed a steak dinner. And Jane Matnair paid herself. So thank you, Jane. That was
sportsmanship.
Great. It's absolutely sportsmanship. But here's a couple of takeaways. A, for me, for my money, probably the best part of the trip, well, was sitting there having dinner with Jane next to the lake. But also, that evening, we had a little campfire, and a big shout-out to TC, our host of our Airbnb in Balsam Lake. We enjoyed a nice little campfire and a beverage and just sat there and reflected on the week and how fortunate we are, how privileged we are to get to come before each and every one of you every day and have this microphone and interact with all of you. And that's the real winning. Both of us get to do this every day. And secondarily, but also perhaps more importantly, I think Jay and I agreed that, you know, this was a lot of fun. It was 2 weeks, but we both hyped it up a lot as we wanted to. And after all this hype and all the promos and all the texts, over a 2-week period, at the end of the day, we won by only 31 texts or votes. Now, let's look at the much more important stakes, STAKE, not STAEAK. The stakes in November are for democracy. And the election will have gone on, the campaigning, for nearly 2 years. There will be hundreds of millions, if not billions, of dollars spent. And it's all going to come down to a couple-week period between early voting and voting on Election Day on November 5th. And I believe that the vote for president in Wisconsin, perhaps nationally, will come down to a few thousand votes, just like this fun little contest that, again, Aaron Krenel, shout out to him, put together. Fantastic contest. Just like after all this, you know, 2 weeks and the hype and all that, it comes down to 31 votes, right, to decide the winner, quote unquote. But more importantly, our votes for president and U.S. Senate will be equally, well, much more important, actually. And it's a great lesson to remind us all that every vote counts. And just because you think, I'm not going to take the time to do that, what difference is it really going to make? You know, all of you taking the time to text in on our Text to Win contest, ultimately it all added up to help us get 31 votes. On a national scale, I think our friend Trigvi Olson would tell you, somebody who's run presidential campaigns, has seen a lot of focus groups, a lot of statistics, a lot of data, that this election, particularly in Wisconsin, and Wisconsin may well decide the Electoral College who becomes president of the United States. It is the feeling of Trigvi and others who are very smart and experienced that Wisconsin will most likely will be won. Whoever wins it, Biden or Trump, will win it by between 12 and 20,000 votes. Millions of votes cast. They'll come down to 12 to 20,000 in Wisconsin. So it was fun. It was great. Jane was a great companion, travel companion. She was a great on-air companion. You know, 40 years plus working in the business, and you can't get more of a professional, nobody who's smoother, nobody who's just better on the air than Jane Mattinair. I mean, she's a pro's pro, and she's a fantastic person, and so I'm the winner and better for having traveled with her. We're all the better for having Jane on the Civic Media Radio Network, and Jane and I are both better because all of you listened and participated. So thank you for that. Thank you to Aaron Carreno and to all the great folks here at Civic Media who made that contest just a heck of a lot of fun. Coming up on today's show at 12:30, we are very honored to have Harry Dunn, former Capitol Police officer, author, and activist, and in hour two, what's worse? So stay tuned for that. When we come back, the FBI prevents another racist mass shooting. Come back and tell you about it. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 past the hour of 12 noon on Monday, June 17th. Glad to have you along. Mr. Zahmer is on the board. Coming up after the 12:30 break, we have Harry Dunn, former Capitol Police officer, author, and democracy activist. Now, Harry Dunn was one of the Capitol Police officers first outside initially, and then moved inside the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. He has testified before the January 6th committee. He has run for Congress, and now he is an activist trying to help us save democracy. Very interesting guy. He was on Earl Ingram's show a little bit earlier today on Civic Media. We are happy to have him on our program here in about 10 minutes. So stay tuned for that. You are not going to want to miss it. Want to bring you a little news. Again, these are things, we always talk so much about the terrible things that happened. I wanted to thought it was important to spend a few minutes here to tell you about something terrible that did not happen. A rap concert last month in Atlanta might well have been the scene of horrific mass shootings, but for the work of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI. The Arizona Mirror newspaper reports that an Arizona man was arrested after crossing into New Mexico en route to Atlanta, where Bad Bunny was performing. You've heard us talk about Bad Bunny before, kind of a jest, but this was a Bad Bunny concert that this guy was headed to. He had planned the attack for over 4 months, involving two others. The first became a confidential source to the FBI. The second was actually an undercover FBI agent. He thought he was taking to talking, rather, to co-conspirators as he laid out his plans to initiate a race war prior to this year's presidential election. The man, now in prison awaiting trial, was a vendor at gun shows where he confided his hatred of blacks, Jews, and Muslims and recruited a man for the attack. That man became the confidential source. The FBI then gathered evidence as the Arizona man sold unregistered guns for cash at local gun shows. During multiple meetings with the source and agent, the Arizona man detailed the who, what, when, where, and why for the Atlanta rap concert shooting. When stopped in New Mexico, he had five firearms in his vehicle. The federal grand jury indictment includes firearms trafficking, transfer of a firearm for use of a hate crime, and possession of unregistered firearms. We have a clear choice with our votes this year. One choice is the guy holding rallies where he stokes violence, condemns the FBI, and promises pardons to those who injured police officers on January 6th. The other choice is the guy who repeatedly condemns political violence. The choice is ours, coming up on November 5th. What do you think of this? Finally, I mean, here, we always hear about the terrible things that happen. Here again is law enforcement, FBI, doing their jobs and doing it well and saving hundreds, perhaps, of lives. 855-752-4842. A couple minutes for your phone calls. 855-752-4842. Make it easy. 855-75-CIVIC. As we said, coming up here after an important news, weather, and sports update, also check of the ag markets, as in agriculture. Going to be talking to Harry Dunn, a former Capitol Police officer. And here we have another incident of an American, as far as we know, not a undocumented person, but a regular old American, who had planned out hate crimes against blacks, Jews, and Muslims in Atlanta. Had recruited people, raised money, and was on his way to commit these crimes. But thanks to the great work of the FBI, he was stopped. And so we have this choice, as we said. This choice of, are we going to vote for a person, vote for a guy, Trump, who condemns the FBI, who just saved possibly hundreds of lives? And Trump is promising pardons for all of those involved in the January 6th attempted insurrection, who injured police officers on January 6th. This is the party, of course, my former party, which I left in 2011. The Law and Order Party. Back the blue, quote unquote. But when it comes to backing police officers, Capitol police officers, some of whom paid the ultimate sacrifice, others who are left with lifelong scars, the same party the MAGA Trump Party is nowhere to be found. Calling these some convicted felons now serving time in federal prison that were involved in the January 6th insurrection. Trump calling them heroes, calling them hostages. And they have to be pardoned. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. A couple minutes left. We have Gene calling in from Eau Claire. Gene, we are just up in your beautiful city on listening on The Tap. Gene, what say you?
Oh, you guys did great. I was watching, yeah, on YouTube. Everybody should watch YouTube, by the way. Oh, and thank you for having this guest. He's an angel, and how wonderful he is. We're lucky to have him as a guest, too. Anyway, I want to say something, and that's about bump stocks. Mm-hmm. Holy Moses. I don't know how anybody can support bump stocks, and that's a horrible thing waiting to happen. We got these people and Trump pushing for violence. So anyway, thank you so much. Keep up the great work. Bye.
Appreciate it, Gene. Thanks for the call, as always. Gene brings up a good point. You know, Jay, Matt, and Eric talked about it last week briefly on our trip. It broke while we were on the road, I believe on Friday. U.S. Supreme Court overruling and saying this ban on bump stocks that was put in place during the Trump era is unconstitutional. And again, as a firearm owner myself, as a hunter myself, you won't find a legit hunter who needs bump stocks. You won't find a legit sportsman who says, I have to have an AR-15 to go deer hunting. If you need an AR-15 to go deer hunting, I don't want to hunt with you because you're a really, really bad shot. I don't care what people say. And again, this hypocrisy of the MAGA Republican Party saying that they're supporting law enforcement, but yet they don't want to back the blue when it comes to defending and supporting the Capitol police officers who risked life and limb to literally defend democracy on January 6th. We'll come back and talk to one of them, Harry Dunn, former Capitol Police officer, author who was there on January 6th. You do not want to miss it. Stay tuned. It's the All Vol Show for Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now, 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, June 17th, 2024. Glad to have you along, and very glad and honored to have our next guest here on the program. He is a former U.S. Capitol police officer, an author, and now the founder of Democracy Defenders PAC. He is Harry Dunn, joining us live from Milwaukee, which I actually think is not horrible, but a great city. Harry, thank you very much for coming on the show. Really, really appreciate it. And welcome to Wisconsin, but understand you've been here for a while.
Yeah, Todd, thanks for having me on. It's been great. I was here last week, had the opportunity to go over. Actually, I was in Milwaukee when the former president made his remarks. And I was looking around and I was like, wait, this isn't bad. I like it here. Right. People are great. You know, people have been nice. I'm happy to be here in Wisconsin, but I told you, I got to get out of here. I've been eating so many cheese curds, I'm going to turn into a big ball of cheese.
they're addicting, right? I mean,
man, I'm telling you, yeah. They're fantastic.
Yeah, no, people haven't had a fried cheese curd before. If you have the right ones, you want to keep on coming back. Well, I think it's fantastic that you're spending so much time here. Before we get into your history, why is it that you wanted to spend so much time in Wisconsin?
Well, Todd, let's be honest. If January 6th didn't happen, nobody would know who I am, and I'd be okay with it. I wish that people could know who I am. I wish I lived a normal life now. I wish I was sitting on my couch, you know, enjoying the day. Father's Day was yesterday. I wanted to be around with my daughter. But something happened on January 6th. These bad guys came to the Capitol, you know, engaged in a little bit of insurrection, turned the country upside down. And Donald Trump, his supporters are doubling down like nothing happened that day. So it's important for me as long as he is still pushing those lies about what did and did not happen that day, it's important for me to be out there meeting his falsehood with truth, telling people what happened that day.
Well, we appreciate you doing this, and not just on Wisconsin, but for all Americans. I want to go back a little bit, because people who listen to this show regularly know I worked for a member of Congress. Then you'd be considered a moderate Republican. Today you wouldn't be able to get elected because he was pro-choice and voted in favor of Clinton's 94 assault weapons ban. But I've spent time in D.C., spent time in the Capitol, and have so much reverence for Capitol Police and what all those folks, including yourself, have done and continue to do. But you were perhaps literally born into this. I think it's fascinating. You were born at Andrew Air Force Base, of course, home of Air Force One for the President of the United States. Tell folks how that came to be.
Well, you know, I was lucky. My father is a veteran. He was in the Air Force for 5 plus years. Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity to be born on Andrew Air Force Base right outside of where I grew up in my childhood, Clinton, Maryland. Probably about 15, 20 minutes from Washington, D.C. So growing up in the DMV area, I spent a lot of time around D.C. and around the politics, but I just never paid attention to it. Like, in fact, outside of school trips, I never was up at the Capitol until I started working there. It's because we took it for granted. It's right there. Speaking of taking things for granted, that's kind of what we this democracy experiment that we have. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but we take things for granted a lot in this country. And I pray to God we'll be grateful.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I grew up as a kid, you know, a much different place than a town of 5,000 people in southwest Wisconsin. But to come to Madison and see the Capitol here, and then eventually went out to D.C. for my first time on a high school trip and fell in love with it. And, you know, I think what people might not recognize, and I want you to tell this from your perspective, we're talking to Harry Dunn, former Capitol Police officer at the U.S. Capitol, author and founder of Democracy Defenders PAC. And Harry, what people might not know, Chris Matthews in his book Hardball writes about, he was a Capitol Police officer back in the day when the way you got these jobs was basically because you knew somebody. They weren't necessarily, you didn't have to necessarily have a degree or a background in law enforcement. Tell folks how that has changed now. And these are legit law enforcement positions.
Sure. Yeah. The Capitol Police is definitely a federal law enforcement position. And think about it, on January 5th, people probably had no clue that the Capitol Police even existed. Mm-hmm. But on January 6th, we were front and center for the whole world to see. Not just the attack on our democracy, but see a bunch of brave men and women step up and answer the call and be there for each other. And I tell you what, as ugly as that day was, you know, people remember what they saw on TV, people defecating in the Capitol. As ugly as that day was, the good guys won. Not one member of Congress was hurt. Not one staffer was hurt. And the election certification happened into the late night hours that night. So the good guys won. So I'm really proud of the job those men and women did that day.
What was your just your personal feeling? I know, correct me if I'm wrong, but from our research, that you'd started the day outside and then were eventually moved inside the U.S. Capitol. I was doing another job. I mean, at the time on January 6th, I had a small coffee shop, but we always had CNN up on the screen. I watched this happen in real time. And as someone who spent time in the U.S. Capitol in the hallways, it was just surreal. And I told my staff, this is really bad. Like, I said, you can't get through, you know, a detection machine without somebody stopping you. And for I said, this is bad. As a Capitol Police officer at the time, A, how long had you been on the job by that time? And secondly, what was just, as you watch this happen, set aside, if you can, your law enforcement, as a person, what was this like?
You know, I'll back to something you just said right there. You said you were watching it happen in real time. Imagine that. And imagine somebody telling you what you were watching wasn't happening. Meaning people saying it was a peaceful tour. It was just a couple people, legitimate political discourse. Imagine seeing what you saw and having people tell you that. But, you know, I've been on the Capitol Police 15 plus years. And I think it's safe to say during that time of my career, I oversaw security for over 1,000 protests, maybe more. 99.9% of them were peaceful. Even when times got arrested, when people got arrested, it was civil disobedience. I mean, I have a shirt on that's in good trouble right now, my great John Lewis. The Capitol Police arrested him for protesting civilly. But what happened on January 6th, sure, there may have been some people there that were not violent police, but a lot of people were. And the people that were there, they weren't violent. They were keeping the police from doing their job, which was getting people out of the building and securing the building.
Yeah. But just as a kid that grew up in the D.C. area, that had that reverence for it, what was it like to see fellow Americans storm this? And I don't want to put too much, I mean, obviously the people are the most important thing, but I'm a person that I'm kind of into symbolism. And the Capitol is a symbol of all Americans.
It's a pinnacle of our democracy. Mm-hmm. Like that the dome, the citadel, it represents, like you just said, symbolism of it. People see that Capitol. I mean, it's been speculated on 9/11 that was a target on 9/11. Mm-hmm. So it symbolizes the greatness of America, but it also represents one of the darkest days of our American history. But like you said, what was going through my mind, I had two main thoughts that day. How is this going to end? And is this really happening? In my book, I talk about one moment that I had once we had a moment of calm. Mm-hmm. I said, is this America? And Jamie Raskin actually repeated those words in the impeachment hearing. But as bad as it was, and as much as we want to admit that it didn't happen, this isn't who we are, it kind of is. It kind of is. It's the worst of us.
Yeah.
But the best of us is still out there.
I want to make sure people understand, the book is called Standing My Ground, A Capitol Yes, sir. Police Officer's Fight for Accountability and Good Trouble After January 6th. You can buy it wherever you get your books. Again, Standing My Ground, A Capitol Police Officer's Fight for Accountability and Good Trouble After January 6th by Harry Dunn. I have not read it yet, but I'm going to, and it's fantastic. Off the text line, Officer... we have one of our texters from WMDX here in Madison says, can you ask him why it appeared some officers allowed people to enter and put that conspiracy to bed?
Sure. We've had a lot of training as Capitol Police officers. Everything from how to deal with big protests to how to properly use a fire extinguisher and a little bit of everything. But we never had insurrection training. A lot of that day was a lot of officers figuring it out. Our former chief wrote a book, and he quoted in that book, we were outnumbered 58-1. And a lot of times, officers were at the mercy, as sad as it sounds, officers were at the mercy of the mob. So you have 100 people coming in. How do you stop that fight with one person? You know, I didn't have the opportunity to talk to every officer who may have appeared to let people in. Let's be clear. The people that were in the building had already breached 4 or 5 different lines of security. Like, the first on the outer skirts of Capitol grounds, there were bike racks. Capitol grounds is closed, no trespassing. And then beating the crap out of officers to get in the building. And there were officers who were already in the building that were, their number one job is to keep people away from members of Congress or whatever. So everybody had a different role, but I do know the men and women that day weren't allowing people to come in. Like, even on a normal day, people don't come in without going through security, without going through an X-ray machine. So even if they were letting in, you would be subject to going through security. I don't want to speculate on what officers may have felt like emotionally, or I was terrified. I will speak that for myself. I was scared. And, you know, at one point during the mob, I tried to reason with people because I'm surrounded by 30, 40 people. I can't fight all of them. So you ask them, get the heck out of this place. What were officers supposed to do? I think it's easy to look back and say, hey, they were just letting them in. The officers that I know, they gave it all they had that day, and they did everything to make it home to their families that night.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Officer Dunn. Yeah, I was.
Todd, I can't hear you. Right, Todd, I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I think are you muted?
Testing. Nope. One second here. We're testing. Can you hear me now? There's some work. We're having a couple of technical issues. But we'll,
I can't hear you. I think.
Okay. We're talking to Harry Dunn, former Capitol Police officer and author and activist. And we're reestablishing connections here. And as soon as you can hear us, Officer Dunn, give us a thumbs up. Can you hear us now? We're trying right now. We're coming up on a break here. So maybe during the break, we'll try to get things reset a little bit. These things happen, as is the case. Live radio. You're working without a net, so to speak, but it'll be fun. Again, just while we're waiting to reestablish, I want to remind you that you can read Officer Dunn's outstanding and unforgettable story in his book called Standing My Ground, A Capitol Police Officer's Fight for Accountability and Good Trouble After January 6th. You can buy it wherever books are sold. Again, it's called Standing My Ground, A Capitol Police Officer's Fight for Accountability and Good Trouble After January 6th. Officer Dunn, can you hear me now? Nope, I can't. All right. We're going to work on reestablishing there some contact, and then we'll try to come back here in just a moment.
Looks like it is working again.
All right. Can you hear me now, sir?
Yeah, I got you.
Hey, how about that? These gremlins happen in live radio. Coming up here about a minute before the first break, and then we'll come back and finish up the interview. Just keep me honest here. As someone who was a chair of the public safety, police, and fire in a very small town in Wisconsin and worked with our local officers, correct me if I'm wrong, but it really, contrary to what some people might think, the first role of law enforcement is to protect everyone, including people that might be coming out. I mean, use of force, particularly deadly force, is the absolute last thing you're going to do.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Even when you use deadly force, a police officer uses deadly force, he's required by law to provide aid to a person who just maybe tried to kill them.
Right.
So, yes, absolutely. Your number one job is to protect people, even the individuals who may be trying to harm you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have thanks our great engineering folks and Mr. Zomers. We have reestablished connection with Harry Dunn, former Capitol Police officer, author. We'll come back and talk about his political action group as well. Stay with us now. It's the Todd Oppold Show for a Monday, June 17th. We're back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock here at hour number 2, a What's Worse for You? And talking about renewable energy, but right now we're honored to have our guest with us, Harry Dunn, former Capitol Police Officer, author of a great book right here in front of me called Standing My Ground, A Capitol Police Officer's Fight for Accountability and Good Trouble After January 6th. Buy it wherever books are sold and wherever you get your books. It also has a political action committee we're going to talk about in a minute. But first of all, Officer Dunn, talk to us a little bit about after January 6th. And my former party, as people know, I left in 2011, the Republican Party. But with the exception of former Congresswoman Liz Cheney and former Congressman Adam Kinzinger, my former party didn't seem to have a whole lot of chutzpah, of guts to quote-unquote back the blue, as they're famous for saying. Look, I have cousins in law enforcement. They do a great job. And it just seems weird to me. You can put it your own words, but how does it feel being a former Capitol Police officer and seeing this Republican Party all but abandon you guys?
It sucks. You know, yeah, it sucks. Just, and it's not even about back the blue, or that's a slogan, man. It's a cool hashtag.
Right.
They could put it as the topic of the subject of a fundraiser email. It's worthless unless their actions put behind it. And like January 6th, man, like this isn't about liberal versus conservatism, or this isn't about, hey, we're spending too much money in X amount of place. We can have those discussions later. But this is about what's right and wrong. Y'all watched on TV, y'all watched on live broadcast, people beating the crap out of police officers on behalf of the former president. Like, that's not speculation. That's not the left grandstanding. That's not, that is what happened. The people that were there on January 6th said that they were there because the former president told them to come there. They were there with the intentions of stopping the steal and stopping the certification of the election. I don't understand, just because, yeah, it makes your leader look bad. How can you downplay, deny that truth? Like, I hate the whataboutisms, and they don't understand how two things can be true. Sure, you want to win the presidency, you can be, want to be conservative, and you want to take away Roe v. Wade. That's fine. Like, I have my own opinions about that. But when it comes down to what happened that day, those people were sent to the Capitol by the former president to attack it and to stop, the delay, stop, whatever, the certification of the election. And, you know, people want to blame, or the Capitol wasn't prepared and officers did this and blah, 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 or Nancy Pelosi didn't do enough security. Whatever. I hear all of that. That's kind of like blaming the person for not locking their house when a burglar breaks in.
Right.
Like, sure. Sure. Maybe we, yes, we should have more security. But not blame the robber for coming in and breaking in. At what point does personal accountability matter? Well, something that Republicans preach a lot, but it seems like they don't receive it.
Give us the 1 minute. You're talking to the statewide audience here, to people in my former party, people, independents who might have a back the blue sign in their yard, who vote for the local sheriff. What would you say to those folks in 1 minute about this election for president in 2024?
Well, you could still back the blue. You could still be conservative. That's fine. Like, I understand that. That's fine. And we can argue those differences and like they did in the good old days, you know, and still be friends afterwards. Now it's like you're either with them or you're against them. People need to understand what happened on January 6th was caused by Donald Trump lying about the election being stolen. Now, even if you want Donald Trump to be that's fine. But let's not go off on these tangent of alternative facts, and let's be real about what happened. And that's the picture that I'm trying to paint here in Wisconsin and all across the country, to tell voters, hey, you could still be conservative, but that individual, the former president, only cares about himself, and he doesn't care about other people.
A little over 2 minutes left here. We're talking to Harry Dunn, former Capitol Police officer. I want to talk about your Democracy Defenders, Harry Dunn's Democracy Defenders PAC, what you're doing now to help us save democracy.
So, yeah, so I, after January 6th, I did all that I can do. Like, stand at January 6th, we did our job as police officers. On January 7th, I'm doing my up until now, speaking out because I love this country. I value our institutions. I think we need to elect people that represent our best interests in those institutions. And I ran for Congress myself unsuccessfully. My primary was May the 14th. And I came in second place out of 22 candidates. But I still want to continue to fight against MAGA extremists. And that's the goal of our PAC, to help elect candidates that want to fight against MAGA extremists. And that's not necessarily saying only Democrats, because look, there are Republicans out there, some few, very few and far between, that don't subscribe to the MAGA ideology. And those are the people I think that we need to have a healthy democracy, so we can have healthy conversations with across the aisle. Liz Cheney and I didn't agree on anything fundamentally, but we were able to sit down at the table and respect each other and have conversations about it. Same Adam Kinzinger. You know, I love Adam. He's a very dear friend of mine. But being able to have conversations with him and find respect each other as individuals and human beings and finding middle ground, it's what it's all about.
You can find Harry Dunn's Democracy Defenders on Facebook, amongst other places. You can text Dunn, D-U-N-N, to 78077. That's Dunn, D-U-N-N, to 78077. Mr. Zommers will have that in the show notes. A couple minutes left here. I wish we could talk to you. You're one of these guys, Officer Dunn, where I could sit down with a beer. I could just listen to you all afternoon and be enthralled. I appreciate everything that you have done and your colleagues, the Capitol Police officers. You are American heroes. There's no doubt about that. I appreciate everything you have done. As you go around Wisconsin, what surprised you being out here and talking to people? What do you come away with that you didn't know before?
It matters to people. One, elections matter. And two, a lot of people aren't sure about what happened that day. Sure, and living in D.C., or you can be feel like you're living in a bubble, you know, watching cable news all the time. But understanding that, hey, some people aren't sure about what happened on January 6th. They want to know what happened without all the political spin to it. You know, all right, Donald Trump sent a group of people to the Capitol. They beat up cops. They tried to stop the certification of the election. That's what happened. So people want to understand what happened without all the political mumbo jumbo that that a lot of people in that bubble listen to, that get used to. So I like that part. The people just want to know the facts. Yeah. And those are the people we're trying to reach. I'm not going to, it's some MAGA people, though I'll never convince. Right. But at the middle, average, everyday American person, I'm happy to talk to.
Harry Dunn, former Capitol Police officer, great author of a great book, and activist for Harry Dunn's Democracy Defenders. Thank you, Officer Dunn, for all you do for America. You're an American hero. I salute you. God bless you. Safe travels here in Wisconsin. Come back and see you soon.
Todd, we're going to get that beer. I will take you up on that.
You got it. Thank you very much, Officer Dunn. Thank you so much. Stay tuned for hour two of the Todd Lowballs show, straight ahead right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.